Welcome back. I'll bet yesterday was great, wasn't it? Did you find that just by making a decision to have a goal, change your focus and your mindset? Didn't it feel good to know that you were taking positive steps towards where you want to go? That you're on a path that will change your life forever? The truth is, you are part of the 2% of people in this world who know where they're going. The 2% of people who hold themselves to a standard higher than anyone else expects of them. You're a winner. Just writing down your goal sets up a magnetic force that begins to attract circumstances into your life that will enable you to achieve your goals. You've heard the saying, like attracts like. Well, like vibrations attract like vibrations. Our thoughts are like powerful magnetic forces that summon things into being. So just making a decision to have a clear goal and writing it down is going to change your life. And let's check in with your goal. Did you write down something that you really want? I want you to rewrite your goal. But remember, make sure you've gone for a goal that really lights you up, that excites every cell in your body and mind. Most people write down what they think they can get. They play it safe and never stretch themselves to achieve something they're truly passionate about. So go ahead and take a few moments to rewrite out your goal in terms of what you specifically want to achieve over the 21 days and in terms of upgrading your mindset. Now today we're going to begin practicing the art and science of mental rehearsal, which is an integral part of this course. Modern day research shows that whenever we do something new, we create new neural pathways so we can access that experience easily. Every time we repeat a particular behavior, we strengthen the associated neural pathway. This is why it is so important to mentally rehearse success. World champion athletes have won thousands of races in their own minds before ever setting foot on a track. Now, yesterday, of course, we talked about the steps to achieving any goal. And some of those steps will really be important when we're going into the theater of the mind today. Steps such as having a clear end target, thinking big so that it excites us, having a specific date on our goal, and also bringing it to the point as if it's already happened. So we're really going to start practicing in what we call the theater of the mind. Mental rehearsal, or visualization as it's often called, everyone says they know this and they can do it. But remember yesterday when I talked about mastering the basics? I'm here to tell you that most people really don't know how to visualize. Oh yes, they know it intellectually, but they're not a master in this area. Why? Because people's lives would be completely different if they had mastered the art of mental rehearsal. This is not something you do for 5 minutes on a Friday and now you're an expert. If you were to go into the minds of, say, Richard Branson or Oprah Winfrey, in terms of being able to mentally rehearse, you might get a shock. Because people like these, the most successful people on the planet, can do this often naturally to an extraordinary degree. You see, there are levels at being able to do this. And for you to live the life of your dreams, you need to become world class in this area. We normally see things in pictures, but for most of us, those pictures are hazy. Certainly in terms of creating what we want. And often the things that we don't want are much bigger, much clearer, more vivid, they're brighter, and we're more emotional about them. You know, this is the formula for achieving any goal. So maybe you can see how often people bring about what they don't want. They're literally thinking, feeling, and acting in the direction of where they don't want to go. So the things that they want are smaller, darker, and further away, without much passion or emotion. But the things that we don't want have got this emotion and passion attached to them, and they're up close and big and bright. It's in reverse. All truly great people throughout history have practiced mental rehearsal. They have either purposefully or unconsciously used their imagination to access the creative realm. The great inventor Thomas Edison could design a machine so perfectly in his mind and operate it mentally for years before ever creating it in real life. Einstein imagined riding through space on a beam of light. And Walt Disney? Well, Walt Disney entered the creative realm daily for ideas and inspiration. And as you can imagine, he sure could see pictures very vividly. Let's talk about having a clear end target. A great example of this is in the area of cybernetics. An example of the end target is the self-guided torpedo or the interceptor missile. The target, or the goal, is known, and this is an enemy ship or a plane. The objective is to reach it. Such machines must know the target they're shooting for. They must have some sort of propulsion system that literally propels them forward in the general direction of the target. They're equipped with sense organs, radar, sonar, heat perceptors, etc. And this brings information from the target. These sense organs keep the machine informed when it's on the correct course. And when it commits an error and gets off course, it gives it negative feedback. So the torpedo accomplishes its goal by going forward, making errors, and continually correcting them. By a series of zigzags, it literally makes its way ultimately towards that goal. And your unconscious mind works in exactly the same way. Once you have identified the clear end target, it will zigzag its way and move effortlessly towards that goal, correcting its course along the way. It is true that imagination rules the world. Aristotle Onassis was at one point one of the richest men in the world. And Onassis spent hours in what we're calling the theatre of the mind, actually playing out his meetings with exquisite detail. Onassis would so vividly imagine situations. He sat in his chair mentally rehearsing it over and over again, with his eyes closed, completely immersed in his imaginary meeting. And it would get so real to him, suddenly he would lose his temper, he'd pound his fist on the table, he'd jump up out of his chair, and it just became that real. And apparently it said that the actual meetings would then turn out exactly as he had imagined. And this always gave people who met Onassis the impression that he was some sort of a magician, that he could tune in so accurately. And really it was like everyone involved were actors in a movie, all reading from the same script. But it was really only because he had meticulously worked out every detail in his imagination beforehand and had replayed it over and over again. I mentioned Oprah Winfrey earlier on. Well, Oprah, when she was very young, was always saying that by the time she was 32, she was going to be a millionaire. And of course, it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. You've heard of Jim Carrey, the actor. Jim told Barbara Walters in an interview, "You know what, I knew I was going to be famous from the time I was small." He explained how he used to drive up to Mulholland Drive, an elite area of Los Angeles, and visualize himself living there. He even wrote himself a check for $10 million and placed it in his wallet, and it said, "For acting services rendered." And he would look at that check until he felt it was his. And he wouldn't leave until he could drive down that hill knowing that he was already a multimillionaire. He knew it was just a matter of time, and his faith and constant vision made it true. So when is the best time to visualize? Well, all the time, really. Every single chance that you get. But it is extremely powerful to access the unconscious mind, especially first thing in the morning and last thing at night. However, the more frequently you visualize, the more rapidly you'll begin to manifest the things you want in your life. One of the most famous studies on the effects of the imagination on impacting real life events was a study involved with sinking basketball free throws. There were three groups involved. One group of students actually practiced throwing the ball every day for 20 days. A second group engaged in no sort of practice at all. And a third group spent 20 minutes a day imagining that they were throwing the ball through the hoop. When they missed, they would imagine that they corrected their aim accordingly. All three groups were scored on the first and last days. The first group, which actually practiced 20 minutes every day, improved in scoring 24%. No surprise there. The second group, which had no practice at all, showed no improvement. Again, no surprise there. The third group, which practiced only in their imagination, listen to this, improved in scoring by 23%. How amazing is that? This particular experiment has been widely reported and referenced, and since it's been repeated at many universities over the years. So with mental rehearsal, the brain doesn't know the difference between physically doing the thing and remembering the activity. But how powerful is that combination of actually practicing in real life and practicing in your mind? The idea that we can change our brain and the results in our life just by thinking has enormous implications. Mental rehearsal gives us the ability to create a new level of mind without physically doing anything other than thinking. Modern scientists, mainstream peer-reviewed published journal scientists, are now acknowledging these findings. So now it's not New Age or wishful thinking. It's a scientific fact. There's this field of energy that connects all living things, and our thoughts, pictures, feelings, emotions, and beliefs have a direct effect on what's being called a quantum field. So the nervous system thinks it's actually having the experience. The signal that goes out to the quantum field is that the experience has already happened. And then the experience finds us. You've literally planted the seed in the quantum field. So what is the best way to practice mental rehearsal? Well, the very best way is to begin using the five senses. That is visual, auditory, kinesthetic, gustatory, and olfactory. Visual, of course, being to see, auditory, to hear, kinesthetic, to feel, gustatory, to taste, and olfactory, to smell. These are also referred to as modalities or representational systems. And these are the ways that we represent the world through these five senses. When information reaches our brains, it's given meaning and forms a subjective experience of the world. This is our representation, our perception. But these are the building blocks of your mind. Now, most people are primarily kinesthetic. And of course, you need to have those emotions and feel those emotions of joy and passion and happiness. But most people need to develop the visual side, because often their vision is very hazy. It's not very clear. And such a person can be overwhelmed emotionally. So your five senses are the very components of focus. This is what's behind your thinking. Studies illustrate that the communication between people breaks down into three main areas. Words only account for 7% of communication. Tone of voice is 38%, and physiology is 55%. And what does that tell us? Well, often people can be saying the right things, but behind that, they could have all these feelings, for example, of negativity. Their tone of voice could be very negative, their self-talk literally talking them out of something. So a person could positively see themselves doing something, but underneath it all, they have these feelings of fear, worry, doubt, or they're hearing this negative voice talking to them and disempowering them. So often people unconsciously have many stored negative pictures that are bigger and louder than the positive ones. This is vitally important to understand because the average person will continuously focus so much on the bad stored programs and it overshadows the good ones. Even if we have 9 happy or successful stored programs and 1 unhappy negative one, we're conditioned to dwell on the negative one. So strangely, it's not about how many bad or good events happen to us, but how we store these events and what we choose to focus on. So right now, all of our stored programs, positive and negative, are affecting us and will continue to do so in the future. So the current results in our lives entirely depend on the programs that are stored in our unconscious. And we store this information illogically. So we need to begin to work with these representational systems, because when your internal representational systems are in alignment, that's when you're unstoppable. And that's why we're going to practice in the theater of our mind. Here's what we're going to do. Many people find they get great results if they imagine themselves sitting before a massive cinema screen. And they're imagining that they're seeing a picture of their goal as having already come about. So you're like the director, producer and star all in one of your own massively successful feel-good box office movie. The important thing is to make these pictures as vivid and as detailed as possible. You want your mental pictures to approximate actual experience. Remember, in research, it's been found that the unconscious mind doesn't know the difference between real and imaginary. So write down this movie script of yours so you involve all of the senses. Once again, you see it, you feel it, you hear it with such emotional intensity that it produces this passion and excitement that begins to impress it upon your unconscious. Pay attention to small details, sights, sounds, objects in your imagined environment. Anything that makes the experience more real to your nervous system. So step one is to take a pad and a pen and write out a brief outline or description of the mental movie that you intend to construct, that you intend to experiment with, develop and view in the theater of your mind. And put a date on it. So it is now, whatever the date is, and I'm so excited and happy, or I'm so happy and grateful that I have now made X amount, $10,000 or whatever it is. I'm so happy and grateful to be receiving my award on stage. Just get it into the present tense and get that feeling as if it's already happened. Step two, find a quiet, private place where you can relax, close your eyes, enter into the theater of your mind and begin playing, editing and replaying your movie. Now, one vital distinction here. Make sure that you're in your own body, looking out through your own eyes, watching your goal being created. This is very, very important. This is called association. So it's the difference between watching yourself, for example, walking across the stage from a distance, and that's much further away to your mind. It's something off in the distance, not very real. But once you're in your own body, looking out through your own eyes, reaching out to receive your award, for example, that's much more real to your nervous system. It really is the difference between looking at your life as a magazine article and living your life in real time in your mind. If you can see it and feel it, you're on a high-speed path to achieving it. And then step three is to just perfect your movie so that the star of the movie, that's you, performs exactly as you desire and achieves the experience and the results that you want. So for the remainder of this course, you keep playing this movie over and over again. You practice mentally rehearsing. It doesn't matter what religious, spiritual, or philosophical background you come from. It doesn't matter how you describe it, whether it's imagination practice, mental rehearsal, visualization, mental imaging. It's all the same. What's important is that you do it. If you choose a target to apply this to and give it a solid, honest 21-day trial, you will be amazed at the results. Then you're like the world champion athletes or the world-class actor practicing in their own minds over and over again. As Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can achieve it. Of course, to practice in the theater of your mind, you can listen to the Blueprinting Your Success unconscious track, either the 10 or 20 minute version that accompanies this program. So when it's convenient, just find a quiet place where you won't be disturbed, turn off all phones and potential interruptions, and comfortably listen through your headphones.